Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sisters United. Listen, we are back. This is our first official show back for the year. Amen. Hey, Odessa.
Hey, Kitty. Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine. And as y'all can see, our special guest is already with us tonight. So I'm excited about that. So I need you all to go ahead, like it, share it. If you're on YouTube, like, share, subscribe. Let people know that they need to tune in tonight, and we'll be right back. Amen. Amen. We're back. We're back. I want we have a special guest tonight, Eugenia. She's going to tell her testimony. But before she does, before she gets into that, I want to talk about how I met her. I was working for the state, and I had the pleasure, amen, of running into this beam of light. She was a beam of light. You know, I mean, she was walking through the building, and I'm one of those people where I just have to meet. I have to meet people. I have to meet them. You know, especially when you can see the glow of God on them. I'm like, okay, I gotta talk to her. So then she was telling me her testimony, and it really blessed my life. And so when she messaged me and said she's ready, I was all in. I was all in. I don't want to take up too much time talking because I can talk, you know. So I'm going to let Odessa say something, and then we're going to dive right in to this powerful testimony.
Well, hello. It was nice to meet you, Eugenia. I read a little bit of the bio, and I was all in. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to show so that I could hear the rest of it. Because I was in from the first line.
Yeah. That's good. That's good to hear. Definitely. Yes. Yeah, so it's honestly an honor for me to be on this program and show and podcast. And I know me and Queenie met a few years ago, and it took me a while to kind of prepare my testimony to come out of my shell and be really more courageous. So, and so I'm glad we reconnected, and, you know, Lord just spoke, okay, it's time, it's time. So I'm ready to share my story with you guys, and just how wonderful God is and how much he cares for us. I mean, for our souls, for our lives, and just out of the deepest darkness, he takes us and saves us and just tremendously blesses us. So this testimony is his story, and I'll just start from the very beginning, and you're so welcome to tune in and ask any questions. So my life started very interestingly. I was born in prison, And my mother was in a maximum security prison for falsifying documents. It was way back in Russia. And when I was born, I was 3 months premature. So it puts me between 27 and 28 weeks. So very tiny baby, less than 3 pounds. And at that time, my mother was not allowed to give birth to the children because it was maximum security prison and she was isolated from other inmates. And so she freaked out and she didn't know what to do. She has a baby and she has to come up with some plan. So what her plan was is to quietly to get rid of the baby somehow. And so she started to plan, she started to think, and so after some consideration, you know, she decided to put me on a windowsill where I can just quietly just be quiet and die. Right. And so that was her plan. And I, so I was just crying, and my mother was literally counting minutes, seconds till I will be very quiet. But luckily, there was a nurse who was working in prison, and so she heard the baby. She heard the baby crying in the cell. So she just rushed in. She took me, wrapped me, and since then I haven't seen my mother until I was 19 years old.
Wow.
So since I was a premature baby and I had lots of health problems, I was placed in a special infant orphanage from 0 to 3. And so I had to stay in an incubator for 6 months because doctors were worried, and some of them even stated that I might not survive since it's so premature. So luckily, I stayed in that incubator and then pretty much was stayed in that orphanage from 0 to 3. When I turned 3 years old, I was moved to another orphanage. That was from 3 to 7. So they just transfer from system to system, like to orphanage to orphanage. My physical development was very delayed. And so those who have children probably will understand that, for example, I started to hold my head at 6 months. My first walk was at 2 years old. My first word was at 3 years old. So just really, really delayed. And I know that particular orphanage, of course, they had to care for other infants. So, of course, there was a lack of attention, lack of care. So I don't remember much of those times, but after I turned 3, so from 3 to 7, that was my second orphanage. So when I turned 7, I was transferred to the third orphanage. And that's where I pretty much started to remember my life. So when I came to this orphanage, I started to have questions, you know, like, why am I here? Who am I? What's the meaning of life? Is there any God? You know, just these questions, like I was looking around, I just had so many questions and I needed the answers. And, but despite all these questions, I had to face a lot of, you know, harsh circumstances in that particular orphanage, because that orphanage was very poor. And again, this is still Soviet Union. And it was most of the orphanage at that time were pretty, you know, were not supported by government as much. So it was pretty much survival mode. So one of the examples, you know, we were fed once or twice a day, just something simple, porridge, piece of bread, you know, tea. I remember we were so hungry, we would rob nearby houses and dig out vegetables and just eat because we were so hungry. And, you know, dirty vegetables or not, but it would cause a lot of sicknesses and diseases. Yeah. And that particular orphanage had 250 kids. So we were always just fighting for the food, trying to find something to eat. Candies or sweets, we would just get them once a year on the New Year's. So that was always a luxury. It also became more like a fighting for the piece of bread, and not only for the like food, but as far as hygiene, for example, we didn't have any hot water. Mm. We would just have, you know, we didn't even have showers. We would just go outside, just rub snow, just take like a cold bucket over, you know, and that was pretty much our shower. And the conditions in the particular orphanage were super unsanitary because, you know, we would have to sleep with roaches crawling over us. You know, there's consistent smell of urine. I mean, it was just so very poor orphanage. And so every day was always survival. And on top of that, aggression. There are so many kids come with the similar stories. It's either moms and dads are terminated, or mostly because parents are alcoholics. So the children are placed there. And so when I was 8 years old, I always kind of felt I was safe in the orphanage, but you never know, because we started to fight a lot. And that's when my first witnessing how the aggression started to come into this orphanage. I mean, for me, it was just so eye-opening how kids are fighting here or there. And so at 8 years old, what really traumatic happened to me was that I was assaulted by three boys in the orphanage. And that particular incident, of course, crushed me. You know, not only I felt unsafe, but also unprotected and, you know, violated. And that particular incident broke me completely. Just my... you know, my understanding of life, my protection, my views on life.
Yeah.
And I remember just coming from that particular situation, it's like, I got to do something about it, you know, and I decided, like, I got to defend myself. And I told myself, I'm going to be the strongest, the most wildest child, and I'm going to learn to fight, and I will beat up everybody, you know. And of course, this trauma that occurred, you know, all this aggression, all it started to grow from within.
Right.
And I've made that plan. You know, I will find these boys, I will fight anybody, and I will challenge anybody to fight until I, you know, become, you know, that people will be scared of me.
Fear, yeah.
The fear, yes. And so I started to hit the walls, you know, with bare fist the brick, break the windows, kick people's faces. And again, it was more like we also were watching so many blockbusters. There was such a poor education system. So what would they do? Just put all the 20, 40 kids in one room, like, okay, watch the movie, you know, Jackie Chan movies, this chat movies. So we would just go practice with each other. After movie, we would just start fighting. And that became a norm, you know. And but for me, I was determined. I gotta go from rank to rank, basically. And you know, and the way the system worked among the kids, if you fight this kid, you go. If you beat this kid, you go to the next kid. Right. So it's a challenge after challenge. And so potentially, I became so-called the gang leader, because, you know, not only I gained respect, but I was fighting to the point where we would have bloodbath. You know, we would have kids without teeth. We would take the clock's hair out of the girls. I mean, we would just jump on each other, like just, you know, scare each other group on group. And you have to be prepared at any point, like nighttime, daytime, you have to be watchful all the time. Who can fight you? Who could potentially challenge you? So that was a complete normal from, I would say, from 9 till 14. And it was just more like, it was just normal mode every single day.
It felt like that was, it sounds like it was feeding that it was, you know, wow.
It came from the roots of the pain of the damage that was caused to me. And now, not only, I'm not any innocent girl anymore, right? Yeah. I gotta be a fighter this time.
Yeah.
And of course, it's aggression, it's violence, it's a misunderstanding of the surrounding. Like, there is no values, you know, there is no one. Hey.
You kind of just kicked in. You were forced into survival mode.
There you go. Yes. And it's just an automatic response to it.
Right.
You know, it's not like, okay, let's just stop fighting, or let's just, you know. No, it's like it became such a norm. We would challenge, go after challenge, you know. And so we didn't know any other life. There was no any other life at that time. But this started to change. But at that time, I was realizing that I was becoming dangerous to myself.
Yeah.
Like, not only to the children around me, but the fact that, you know, I didn't know the measure. like I would just continue. But when I was 14 years old, we consistently have new kids coming to the orphanage. So one day we had a new girl coming. Her name was Julia, and she was very unique. She was very angelic, very quiet. Mm-hmm. And every time we have a new kid, what do? We challenge, we fight, we got to show who is the boss here, yeah. Right? And so when she came, it was so interesting because she's like, I'm not fighting you. Oh, come on, let's fight. She's like, nope, I'm not fighting you. She was very calm demeanor. And it's something that really attracted me to her. Like, why is she so angelic, very quiet, right. Very peaceful, you know? And so I just decided to keep an eye on her, to watch her. And so every day she has a very interesting habit. She would sit on the side of her bed. She would make it neatly because it was compulsory. It was mandatory to make a bed in the orphanage. And she would read a book every single morning. So one day I just came up to her and said, hey, Julia, what are you reading? Like, I've been watching you for days. Like, you're doing the same habit every single day. So she lifted up the book and she said, in this book is the meaning of life. And that book that she lifted was Bible. I said, really? Oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And so I just started to, you know, bombard her with questions like, okay, what is God? What is the meaning of life? What's going to happen next? You know, what's going to happen after we go out of orphanage? You know, just bombarding her with questions. Yeah. And she would just like answering questions like this. And that's really like was eye-opening to me. It was very interesting because at that time you also had Orthodox Russian religion coming to our orphanage. And that will tell you so many beautiful things about God, how wonderful he is, but they will never tell you how to accept him. Mm-hmm. So when Julia first time shared the gospel with me, that's where like, wow. I mean, that's really touched my heart. So I just asked her a question. So how do I accept that Jesus? How do I accept that God that you're talking about? So she just simply said, oh, you just go to another room and just say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. And I was like, really? That's it? She said, yes, that's simple. So for me, I'm like, okay, let me test that guy, what you're talking about. Yeah. So I just followed her instructions, went to another room, prayed, and that was it. So I immediately felt, you know, there's something really clicked in my heart. There's something changed. There is something kind of shifted in my soul. And and the whole dynamic started to change in the orphanage. So instead of me fighting, I started to defend these girls. Because some of these girls went through a lot of abuse and rape and all kinds of like humiliation and just a lot of things that were really like beyond themselves. In that particular orphanage at that time, you also witnessed a lot of deaths, suicide, you know, physical abuse, emotional abuse. I mean, just things that like, you know, that was just beyond comprehending for the child to endure.
Yeah.
And we would say, you know, we would see corpses, kids just passing away or being killed by other kids. I mean, it was just really chaotic in that particular orphanage. So I started more like defending, trying to see how we can change all of this situation in the orphanage. And things changed, and it got really, really better just because, you know, at that time, since I was leader, I was trying to change things for better. So Julie became also a huge example for me because not only she was tortured at the orphanage because she started to convert kids to Christ, and she started to have Sunday schools, and me and her started to have like one-on-one Bible study, and she was singing songs, and it's amazingly how the atmosphere started to change. You know, when she would have 10 kids coming to Sunday school, then 20 kids, you know, then 200 kids, like they all want to, you know, to know about God. And she was just became a huge, huge example for me. Like, wow. I mean, that's who I wanted to be, you know. But when you turn 15, you get out of the orphanage. So whatever you do with your life, nobody cares. And so most orphans end up in prison, prostitution, drugs, alcohol. Some of them are killed. I mean, just a really, really bad. And there is, of course, no support system. Wow. So at that time, after my graduation from the orphanage, I was the first orphan getting into university, and that helped me to kind of move forward. So government started to pay me money. Like, okay, we have an orphan who is actually got into university. And the reason I got it because I love languages. I spoke three languages fluently at that time, self-taught, and just really was into like English, Swedish, Russian. I mean, all these languages just helped me to get into university. But once I got out, I was like, oh, you know, I'm by myself. I don't need God. I'm good. I'm good. Oh. Government supports me. I'm independent now. I don't need anyone to tell me what to do, right? I'm free. I'm free from the orphanage system. I'm free like from the whole just chaos. So I can do whatever I want now, right? And since I had money, you know, I just, it just really started to, you know, things started to spiral down once I started to meet, you know, bad people. But after that, I also had one incident where there was an attempt of abduction where there was two, three guys were in the car and almost abducted me. But luckily, I was hiding under the big pile of snow that was during the winter. But that time, I was so paralyzed with fear. This has caused me so much trauma. And I know once the car left, and then during that moment, I was so praying to God, like, come on, God, you got to save me. Because I was so scared. But that caused more internal trauma, more, you know, wounds. Yeah. And so when I came back to the city, and of course, at that time I had money, I just started to drink, like heavily drinking. It was just like trauma, fill it in, you know, the void, something has to fill in the trauma, you know, the wound that I was experiencing at that time. But also, and so since I just put my Bible away, I was at that time, I was staying with at the dorm that was provided by the university. So all my friends who were like partying and, you know, just drinking, smoking, just that was just like such a norm to me. And my alcohol habits just started to, you know, from one addiction to another addiction. You know, at that time, I was in a relationship with girls. You know, I considered myself being a lesbian at the time and like, okay, you know, no views of life, just go with the flow, basically. Yeah. And nobody would tell you, hey, you stop. There right. was no mommy and daddy say, hey, you yeah. know,
right,
yeah. you by yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And it's like, I wish I had someone's like, hey, wake up.
Yeah.
No, that time is all by myself. And that probably I wouldn't even accept anybody's advice. I was like so focused on just on the trauma and the drinking. And so that became a really party after party and heavy drinking came. And it's not like 14, 19 degrees of alcohol. It was like 60, 80 degrees. So when you drink Russian alcohol, liquor, vodka, it's really knocks you out for weeks. And so I was just poisoning my body, you know, being in a relationship, potentially became bisexual and just like really just didn't know like about, you know, life at all. Just going down quickly. I remember coming drunk to the lectures, try to debate with all these professors. I mean, just a very wild behaviors that I had. For me, it was like, I would fight, you know, if you said something wrong to me, I would just go fight with you. Mm-hmm. And so just becoming really a human with insatiable, nonstop desires that like, you know, it's just no limits. And right. I knew at that time how, you know, I remember coming to the dorm and it's like, you know, asking questions like is that the life I was looking for,
right?
Is that the meaning of life that I was looking for? I would ask questions, but at the same time I knew I had Bible, but I would just put Bible away and just go back to party. It's like, wow. No, I'm going back. Wow. And I remember some point like I poisoned my body so much with alcohol, with just wasted myself completely to relationships, to all kinds of addictions. I couldn't even walk. One time at the store, I could literally just, I almost collapsed. because my full body was just completely poisoned. My liver, my kidney was just completely giving up. And at that time, I just became, I couldn't recognize myself, you know.
Do you think you were trying to kill yourself?
So I'm coming to that point. So at that time, I was already depressed. I was already had a high level of anxiety. I did not care about life. So at that time, I also found my mother, and only to find out that she's alcoholic. And the final drop for me was like telling me my story that I was in prison and why she put me in the orphanage and all of this. At that time, I was so done with life. Right, I became suicidal. I became completely suicidal. That's it. And I remember sitting at her house and planning my suicide. I told myself, this is my last night. Tomorrow, I'm going to take the belt and just going to hang myself. That's it. I was so happy to, you know, I found myself in such a darker speed. Like I was so done with life. And I knew at the point, like, you know, it's like a lid closing on me. You know, it's like I was so happy to be gone, because nothing, trying everything in this life, nothing works. And I'm completely wasted. And there is no purpose of life. And there is no one who is stretching your hand and telling you, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And at that time, I already quit university and all my friends disappeared. Yeah. So I'm by myself again and again. That loneliness, I mean, just a devastation, and the level of all this pain just continue, you know, just caused me to, I'm just going to kill myself and that's it. So sitting that very night, you know, planning that suicide, I just planned every single detail. I even told myself, I'm not going to even leave a note. I'm just going to kill myself. And that's it. Nobody even, you know, I didn't even care anybody what they might think. I just want to be gone forever. That's it. But that night particularly completely changed my life. So I had a dream that very night before my suicide. It was a very beautiful, bright dream. Very vivid. And in the center of this dream was Julia, the one who first time told about Jesus. And she was just so happy. It was so exuberant. She was just smiling. And the next day when I woke up, it's like, I gotta find her. The only thought I had in my head, I gotta find her. I didn't even know where she was living. I know it was the same city, but where, I had no clue. But this is like, so I just got up 7 a.m. It's like, God, okay, get up, go.
Yeah.
Follow me. Now, okay, let's talk, you know. Okay. But I remember it was like a push, you know, because I just walked for 2-3 hours. And my only thought, I gotta find Julia, you know. And as walking after a few hours, I saw a girl standing in front of me. She was standing back to me. But the closer I approached to her, for some reason, I knew it was her. Like everything kind of matched. Heights, you know, the body, everything just kind of matched. So the closer I got to her, I knew that it was Julia. So I just came up and said, hi, Julia. She turns around. She said, hi, Zhenya, which is my Russian name.
Yeah.
I knew that today you will come.
Mm.
Look at God.
My Lord.
I knew that today you will come. And she said, all these years, I've been praying for you. And I knew that today or tomorrow, God will answer my prayer.
Jesus.
Whew, it struck me. It shocked me. It's just overwhelmed me. It's like she was purposefully standing there and waiting for me.
My Lord.
And the beautiful thing about it, she didn't say, oh my gosh, you're so dirty. Where have you been? What have you done with your life? You know? She just said simple words. She said, it doesn't matter what you did.
Mm.
God will forgive anything.
Yes, he will.
And I remember just talking with her maybe for like 2-3 hours. It's just like I was walking away from her, and the only thing I had in my heart was hope.
Let's hope.
Like I didn't have any more suicidal thoughts. I didn't have like, okay, I gotta end up like this is now. It was a hope. It was like a horizon of something new. I gotta do something about my life. But and as I was walking away from her, I found a beautiful cross on the ground. And when I picked up the cross, it was just beautiful carved, like it probably was designed for me. And I said, and that became a symbol of hope to me, that Jesus is the only way.
Right.
And I remember I came home to my mother's house and found that old Bible that I was ignoring for so many years and just started to read. And I remember I couldn't even eat food. I was so just absorbed for like for days. And it's just like, oh gosh. And I knew some of the truth, but this has just really hit me. Like, but at the same time, I knew I was still not walking with God because I was still struggling. Like now I had a big spiritual warfare. It was a big spiritual battle for my soul because Satan was yelling in my ear, come on, let's go back to the party. Don't you remember how much fun you had?
Lord.
When Jesus would just quietly whisper to me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will never forsake you or abandon you. So all these promises just started to, he just started to pour into my heart, in my soul. And I remember after 2 weeks, I just crushed before the Lord. I said, I'm done. Take my life, God, you know, and I will do anything for you. Please forgive me. And I remember after that time, it's like getting up from the prayer. It's like he put the new robes on you.
Yay. Just like
he took all of that dirt, all of this ugliness, everything that I was going through, and just looking back, you know, it's like my eyes were opened and I could clearly see the difference.
Yeah.
What is darkness and what is light?
And what is light?
And just looking back to see like what fire he took me out from.
Yeah.
You know, because I would be dead a long time ago, but knowing that now I'm surrendering my life to him, it was like a huge anchor for me. You know, it's like, I am never letting you go, you know? And the more I started to read Bible, the more I just fell in love with God.
Right.
You know, and me and Julia started to go to church together and we started to sing all the songs that we sang in the orphanage. It was just so beautiful and so redeeming. And I knew that God was everything for me. Yeah, he was so like, I was just so in awe, you know. It was just not only the first love, but it was just like he became my father. Yeah. He's my Lord and Savior. He's everything, you know, my life.
Yeah.
And so just going to church, God restored me to a new university. I didn't lose any years, new dorm, new friends, new family. And also, of course, you know, my biggest mission was for my mother to be saved. And but it took me a long time because every time I would come to her house and witness, you know, it would be just like God would block me and he would whisper me, this is my battle. This is my war.
Yeah.
And I would be surprised, like, God, I'm on fire. I got to tell everybody, right? I got to share the gospel with everybody. But I knew that God was just giving me time to be obedient to him. And also my mother was not ready. She was still going through a lot of struggles. And I knew if I share, she might not even accept. She might not even listen to me.
Yeah.
But it took me 3 years just to submit to the Lord, be obedient. And I remember after I graduated, came from missionary school, and I was going to church. And that's when the Holy Spirit whispered to me, now is the time.
No.
I said, God, I have plans. You know, I have a youth ministry. I have so much to do. And then the second time, Holy Spirit, like, it's time. You need to go. And I was already on the bus, already planning, trying to debate with the Holy Spirit. But the third time the voice said, you need to go.
Yeah.
So I got off the bus and came to my mother's apartment, ring the doorbell. She opens up and she said, how did you know? I said, know what? I was about to kill myself.
Oh, my Lord.
And this, that's when God just whisper to me, now she's ready. Now she's ready for the gospel.
Yeah.
And when I walked into her house, I mean apartment, she already was holding pills in her hands. She was already had some, you know, sharp objects on the table. She was already like ready to self-harm. And that's when was the moments like, I just said, Mom, God loves you. Mm-hmm. And shared the full gospel with her. Yes. And she just like, she fainted. And then when she woke up, she's like, I was in heaven. What just happened? And that's when I knew, that's when I knew that Jesus entered her heart, yes. You know, that he became her Lord and Savior because she prayed yes. with me. But that was the biggest, you know, one of the biggest blessings that I experienced after I became Christian. Yes. So yeah, and God continued, you know, pursuing me. At that time, I started to do ministry, you know, with students, Alpha Course, mission trips, just to doing preaching the gospel everywhere. You know, I would go, and then I met my husband online. We met on a Christian website, and then I moved here to US, and we got married, and we were in the military for a few years, and now we moved back here to Houston, and that's where we are. But just looking over all these years, you know, it just amazes me how God was always with me, even though I made so many bad choices and the wreckage and it was in so much bondage and so much abuse, but God just delivered. And, you know, whatever enemy meant for evil, God used it for good. So I'm just really grateful and, you know, all the glory to him. And I mean, the biggest, I think what I would like to conclude my testimony, you know, there is a Bible verse that says, it says in the Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes.
Yeah. So Revelation 12:11, it just tells me a lot how much we need to continue, you know, testifying and just magnifying God, because only he can do this. Only he. Only because if not God, I would be dead long time ago. So all the glory and power to him alone.
You know, that scripture you read is a powerful scripture, because we hear ourselves saying we went into, and I think Odessa said it early too, and I've said it too in my life, that we went into survival mode,
mm-hmm.
or survival, you know, you're trying to survive. And it's amazing when you get to that place when you begin to testify, because that's a new mode. That's overcomer, you know.
Yes.
I done stepped over it. I'm past it. And like Odessa said, you know, it's like God, sometimes we think that God has abandoned us, but really mm-hmm. When he brought your friend in, mm-hmm. that was the hook. That was
yes.
You know, and God will, you know, I said in scripture earlier, very present help in the time of need, in the time of trouble, sometimes we say. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And sometimes the light and the answer is right there.
Yes.
It's right there. Your testimony is so powerful. I could think of times when I was hurting, or I felt alone, or I felt like I couldn't see my way out of mm-hmm. it. And God stepped in, or he sent someone. That's a powerful, powerful thing.
Yes. And I like what you said. You know, once we start to testify, the enemy loses power.
He loses the power.
Because you hear in yourself, the world hears what you have to say, and God is glorified through you. Because only he implanted this testimony in you. This is not our story. This is his story. So once we are ready, once we start testifying, once we start voicing, whatever, even if it's the hardships, and even if it's a trauma, even if it's abuse, but once we voice it, he's done. Yeah. He's done. He loses power, and God steps in, and he's just magnified through you.
Yes, you know? It's getting on the other side of it and seeing it the way God wrote it. See, because sometimes we're in it, mm-hmm. so we can't see it. People, you're gonna come out, but it's different when you're in it. Mm-hmm. When you're in it, you know, that's why I say when that person show up, or that that scripture, God made it. It's many ways that God ministers to us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think it's a wonderful thing when we wake up, when we wake up from that sleep, when we wake up from that place, and we turn around. I think I told you, you know, when we talked, how my I was going through a situation, and God said, "Take the stick out of the devil's hand."
There you go.
That's how.
There you go.
You, like they say, get ahead of it. Yeah, get ahead of it. Tell it yourself. Tell it, you know, and it destroys humiliation. It destroys that embarrassment. That it destroys it all. You know, if people say things to me sometimes, and it bounces off because, hey, I have accepted my testimony. Mm-hmm. Yes. Come on, hallelujah. I have accepted that God brought me out. I have accepted that God will do exceedingly and more abundantly above all that we could ask or think. It is a place in your walk with God where you know, for God I live and for God I die. Mm-hmm. It's a time in your walk with God where you know, I mean it. This is it.
Yes, there you go.
This is it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we sometimes...
When I get out of your the word that came forth for me, and I'll say it again, it's survival. Because you didn't start to survive when you got into the trauma in the orphanage.
Yeah.
You were a premature baby that was destined to die. Mm-hmm. And nobody been in the health field, nobody fights harder than a premature child.
Come on.
So your existence began with survival.
With survival.
And because you were born with that in you, when you got in the orphanage, the trauma triggered it even the more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you thought you were surviving for yourself initially. Mm-hmm. But then God turned it around that you were surviving. You had to go through that to protect the light that came into your life. Because you stop fighting for your survival and start fighting for her protection.
Yes. Right.
Because that was the light that God brought into your life for you to protect.
Yeah.
And later on in life, because she was the light, after you went through your darkness, then you knew what darkness looked like and you knew what the light looked like. He just fixed it so you would make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You made the right choice. At the right time, when he was ready for you to make it, because you thought you were going to go to bed to die. Mm-hmm. And you had a dream of light that said it changed your whole focus. Because when you woke up, you said, I got to find her.
Yeah.
Your mind was no longer on suicide because you saw the light. You woke up, as Queenie said. Mm-hmm. And I just think it is a beautiful testimony. And I thank God that you got the strength to tell it.
Yeah.
But there's so many people have beautiful testimonies that for whatever reason they are ashamed of and they don't share. But that's a tactic of the devil. And you have got to be transparent. And the fact that you're so transparent is just going to bless your life. Yeah. Because the transparency is blessing other people.
Yeah.
So I just thank God that you stood up and you had the strength to be as transparent as you have been. And it has truly blessed my heart.
Could you share with us what was it that something, what was that moment where you knew, hey, I gotta tell somebody what I've been through. I have to share what happened.
So I got saved when I was 19, almost 20 years old. And when I became Christian, like Odessa was sharing, most people would just shut the door. It would not share. Yeah. So for me, I shut that door a long time ago. Even though I was walking with Christ, but girl, you don't touch this.
Yeah.
You don't touch this area. Don't even mention this because it would trigger me and I can become very defensive. So all these years, from 20 till 30, now I'm 37 years old. Only 2-3 months ago, God was asking me, Eugenia, are you willing? Are you willing to share? And I would be like, oh, whew, God, no. I can talk to you about it. Yes, I can talk to you. But everybody else, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I knew the bondage of it because I knew Satan is yelling at me, shut up. Yeah. Why do you need to share?
Yeah.
Right. You right. own the story. This is your story. Just keep it shut.
Yeah. Right. No but, business. You know how I do.
Yeah. You yeah. know you what you've been through. It's like a self party, like a pity party. You know, right. I don't want to go there. Yeah. But the Lord was, okay, I will help you. I will yeah. walk through you. I will walk through this path with you.
Yeah.
But are you willing? That's the question, just to really continue, you know, being in my mind. And the more I started to, I'm doing prison ministry now. Yeah. And every time I share, and the Holy Spirit will remind me, ah, you didn't share this.
yeah.
You know, yeah. you have yeah. your compact church testimony, you have this testimony. Yeah. You kind yeah. of put them in the boxes, depends which audience yeah. you share with, right?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit would convict me, oh, you didn't share this. Hey, yeah. how about this and this yeah. and this? Because yeah. this girl is struggling what you've been through.
Right.
Right.
And when I started to talk about suicide, when I started to talk about my addictions, whew, you know, it just started yeah. to overflow me because yeah. and once this inmate started to come, hey, I'm struggling with the same thing. How did you survive? How did yeah. God help you? Yeah. And that's when I knew that God wanted to expand, yeah. like be yeah. more transparent.
Yeah.
And one day I just like I found a person that I could confide in. And it's like, okay, you know, Lord, if I'm voicing it already in the testimony, why won't I just tell the person that I trust just the full story?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the most amazing thing what happened once I started to voice it, once I started to hear myself, yeah. it's like, oh, Satan has no more power.
No more power.
Right. Right. He's done. He lost right. his battle.
Yeah.
Because now not only I'm confidently talking about it, like yeah. you were saying, transparent, but yeah. I know it's edifying. I know yeah. that God is sanctifying his bride through the words. And so I just realized it's like, wow, I can't contain this power. Yeah. You know, I just want to be, you know, God to be glorified through all of this.
Yeah. Right.
So I just found, and the more I started to share, the more I like, okay, God is using it. He is truly using, but it's also healed me.
Yeah.
Because once I started to share, I'm realizing, just looking back, it's like, wow, how in the world was I keeping so much pain yeah. in myself?
Yeah.
Just even thinking about it, just even, you know, just enduring that pain. So once I started to voice, that just became such a tremendous, you know, testimony. It's tremendous power. And yeah, that answering your questions, it's very recent when I started to actually coming out of that, yeah. you know.
You know, because
my own darkness in a way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The word of God says to confess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in this day and time, when we hear confess or we read confess, we think it's just an admission of sin. Mm-hmm. No, it's also feelings. It's I always tell people, if you're sad, say, Lord, I'm sad. Mm-hmm. If you're unhappy, say, Lord, I'm unhappy. If you mm-hmm. are broken, say, Lord, I'm broken. When you confess in truth, mm-hmm. when you confess in truth, it breaks down walls, it breaks yeah. strongholds, mm-hmm. Look.
yeah.
moves you to a place where you can now take something that was a mess and use as a message. Mm-hmm. But you know, and I hear people say it all the time, but we have a lot of people sitting on testimony, sitting on things that God brought them out of, but they won't tell due to shame that the mm-hmm. enemy is still
right.
Because he's gonna try to hold on to you some kind of way.
Yes.
He's fine if you tell part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He don't mind if you just But don't tell what he really did to you. Don't mm-hmm. tell what that's his way of holding mm-hmm. you. He said, okay, I'm going to stay right here on the couch till you get home because you're not going to tell him this. Because mm-hmm. you're not going to, you know. But when you reveal him, he can't hide anymore in your yeah. life. He has no space no more. There's no dark. You got to put a light in every corner.
Yes.
Every corner of your life. And I'm glad you shared. That's what this show, this platform is for people to share, because it's other people going through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's other people. I just saw where an abusive man took his girlfriend broke up with him. He went to the mother's house, got the girlfriend and the baby, and just took off with him mm-hmm. with a machine gun, ready to kill him. Oh. And she had called in time and time again that she was being abused. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We have to this is a time to pray. This yeah. is a time to really be transparent with each other. Mm-hmm. Don't sit there. You see somebody and you could tell when, like you said, you were just looking, you was waiting on something. You had nobody there mm-hmm. to say, hey, listen, I've been where you at. Right. Come on with me. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that. Come on with me. Right. Well, and then sometimes you may not experience what they're going through, but I know a man. His name is Jesus. You know, so yes. we have to be that light for someone, because that's that light. God was, or someone was that light for us. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for your light.
Where is Julia now?
She's still in Russia. I mean, she stopped going to church a few years ago. She's on a different level, I would say, of her spiritual walk. We still keep in touch, but there's some things changed in her life and her values. So right now, I'm still supporting her and praying for her. Yeah. She was really shattered when I left Russia and came to US, because we were really close. We were good friends, and we would just have Bible study together, serve together. So it's a little bit, you know, disappointed for her that, you know, I had to leave. But I know God got, he yeah. has her, you know, and she walks with him in her own way, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And now mm-hmm. she is now on our prayer list. So she's in trouble.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I do want to mention just really briefly, when we become Christian, and I know God sanctifies, but I do want to say it's not like it stops there. We become Christian and everything is good. We have to continue thriving with Christ.
Yes.
And I still, you know, because some people still asking me, are you still struggling with this and this and that? I have fireworks behind me. Okay. That's good. So it's very important to acknowledge that yes, the battle is still there, yes. but now you know the truth.
Yeah,
because right. when you know the truth sets you free.
Yes, it does.
And yes. for me today, even though there are some temptation, there are some struggles, there are some yeah. thoughts, there are, of course, memories, right, of the past yeah. and all of these things. But all I know is, you know, the more I spend time with the Lord, the more I invest in the spirit instead of flesh, you know, God is just, you know, putting more and more of his holiness. So yeah. this journey is still on. And but again, the most important is that he is the Lord and Savior. And yeah. every time I have something like this, it's not like I'm just try to barricade on just trying to hide this, but more like just coming forward and say, Jesus, I am still struggling. Yes, God, I'm still, you know, this memory bothers me. This memory bothers me. You know, you just come back right. to him, keep yeah. bringing and bringing and bringing. And that's how his sanctification just flows through you.
Yeah.
And I was recently sharing, and the more we serve Jesus, the more we serve God, not only we get sanctified through that, you know, like it's just his light flows through us yeah. and it flows all the wounds in us. Yeah. It's not like my ministry is here, Jesus is here, people are here. Everything is so interconnected.
Yeah.
And right. we have to understand the more time we spend with God, the more we serve people, God just like pours himself in us in every single detail in our lives, every single wound. So I'm just really thankful knowing that the more we are abiding in him, you know, the yeah. more he just pours in us more and more and more. You right. know?
How is your support system as you're on your journey of evangelism? How has your support system been?
It's good. Now I'm doing prison ministry. I have my three friends who are a huge support system for me, because when I started to do prison ministry, that became like my biggest support. Like I never even knew how much it's needed. You have to have your own tribe, yeah. like yeah. where you can text, group text, where you can support, send Bible verses.
Yeah.
So this is really tremendous, because I have never experienced that in the past. Usually it's more like me, God, my Bible, you know, but yeah. the more people surrounded you, the more people yeah. praying for you, the more you actually invested in them too. It just becomes such a holy clan where just God is started using you.
Yeah.
So I would say prison ministry did open so many doors for me, not just for the great relationships, but also the support. And of course, support, my my biggest support is my family, but also the friends, Christian friends that are, you know, that God surrounded me. I'm just so thankful for that, because that's what builds me up and that's what makes me closer to God.
Amen. I want to, before we round up this thing, you know, I would like for you to pray a prayer. I know you mentioned another scripture, in case you want to share that before we end the episode, but I would like for you to pray, because it, like I said, it's somebody's body listening. It's somebody that needs just the courage, that nudge. Like you say, you felt that push. Mm-hmm. It's somebody that needs that push. So I believe that God is on you tonight to pray.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. So the scripture I want to share before prayer, something that really stood out to me recently, and it's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. It says, "I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And another translation said, "who rescued you from the house of slavery." So Lord, I want to pray for those people right now who are watching us, who are listening to us, Lord, just whoever is struggling right now, God, I just lift them up to you. Because you're the God Almighty, and only you can deliver us, and only you can rescue us from any type of bondage, stress, depression, and anxiety, mental health, anything that really bothers us, anything that really just brings so much pain, Lord. Only you are the deliverer. Lord, I'm here to testify that you have delivered me, and I know you can deliver anyone, Lord,
anyone.
Because your mighty power is so able to do wonderful works in us, Lord.
Yes,
so I just pray and lift all these people, all this pain, all these wounds and abuse and any type of neglect, anything that's a trauma, Lord. Just please, Lord, put your healing balm on this wound,
yes,
Lord. And just only you can anoint, you can restore, you can rebuild, you can renew and give a new refreshing life to this, Lord. So just lift up every woman, every man, Lord, to you who is struggling, who is listening. Just bring them to you, Lord. Just fill them with your comfort, with your strength and your mighty power, Lord. With your Holy Spirit that transcends our hearts, our minds and brings freedom, Lord.
Yes.
So, Jesus, please, you can do it again. And only you, Lord, can make these beautiful miracles in our lives. And just so thankful for this time, opportunity to share your word, to share your story, Lord, and only you may glorify it forever. Thank you so much, Lord, for everything you have done for us and so much you can do for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
And we shall be
praying. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. We wanna thank you for being on the show with us tonight, Odessa. Do you want to say something to our guest?
Such a joy, such a blessing. It was an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
And keep living for God and keep being transparent.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And God has so much for you to do. So much for you to do. This is just the beginning. We love you. And for those of you that have tuned in tonight, we want you to remember to stay true, amen, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share your testimony. Remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with God, all things are possible. Who cares? God cares. God bless you and good night.
Good night.
Love Thank you. You.